Good morning, friends. Happy Easter. He is risen. Yes, yes. If we have not met, my name is Charlie Salamone. And I am one of the lead pastors here at Westview Bible Church, a role that I share with my friend, Pastor Cheryl, who is floating around here somewhere. You know what? It's different. You guys are looking different this morning, different than most Sundays. And the reason why is most Sundays around this time, the children are in various children programs in the other places of the building. But today you're in the room. And the reason you're in the room today is I said to our staff team, guys, I'm feeling kind of nervous about this sermon. I don't think I can do it by myself. So I'm kind of hoping that you little ones would be able to help me. Is that possible? Okay, good, good. I'm glad I got your attention. So we're in this together, right, children? Okay. So if this goes south, if this goes off the rails, okay, it's not only my fault. We're in this together. Okay, I'm glad we clarified that. So it is Easter, and at Easter we talk about what happened. Jesus rose from the dead, and that happens, that's the middle of the Bible story. The Bible story that's still playing out, that's the middle. That's the climax. That's the peak of the story. But I kind of want to do the whole story really quick. And so what I like to do sometimes is begin at the beginning, okay? So the Bible says the very first verse goes, in the beginning, God, now I can't remember. Any kids know what happens? In the beginning, God, children, come on, you got to know this one. Created the heavens and the earth. You guys over in that section, you got it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he made, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky. Mars? Yeah, that, yep. Planets. What? Animals, plants and animals. Man and women. Humans, and actually, you know what? He made everything. He told the birds, he told the people to be fruitful and multiply and flourish, make the place wonderful. And then he said something about what he made. The birds. Hold on, little one. I'm going to need your help soon. Hold on. God set a conclusion on the matter. After making everything, this is what he said. Let's read it. This is the end of Genesis chapter 1. It says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. It was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. It was very good. The things that God made are very good. I can think of a lot of things that I think God made that are very good, but I guess I need some help here filling in some gaps. Children, what are some of your favorite things that God has made? What? Food? That's what I'm thinking. Minecraft, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, video games, creativity. Deodorant? Is that what you said? You never know. What? I can't hear. There's too many muffled sounds. What? Okay. I can't hear what they're saying, but someone can. Okay, one more. What? Planes? Plants. I like plants. I'm surprised no one said candy. When I was your age, I would have said candy. You said candy? Oh, thanks, Leticia. Candy, yes, candy. When I was your age, I would have said candy. Now I'm a little older. At the last thing that God made, when he did man and woman, I thought that was a really good idea. So my wife is probably my favorite of the things made that we have around here. But God made things, and what did he say once more? He said it was very good. Don't forget that. And the reason why I bring that up on Easter is because the Easter message is very much connected with that. And that very good is something that we sometimes get wrong. The fact that God made everything and he said it was very good, it's something that religion sometimes misses. Oh, that word, religion. It's that word, it's a word that makes me cringe. Something that people don't often say, especially around here, you don't hear things like religion. Religion is so wonderful. Like, religion is such a wonderful thing. It's not something that people often say. Actually, kids, again, there's kind of words that are like opposites. I'm going to say a word, and I'm going to need to know the opposite. How should we start? Warm.
Cold.
Okay. Happy.
Sad.
That works. Happy. So, fun.
Boring.
Boring. That's good. And here's another one. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Horrible.
That's not bad. Anything else? Horrible. Bad. Bad. The word that I was looking for is miserable. Thanks, Charlotte. Okay, no, the reason I said that is because these words, warm, happy, fun, no one ever says religion is warm, happy, and fun. That's not what people feel. Religion, warm, happy, fun, wonderful. Often what people feel is religion is cold, sad, boring. Do people feel that? People feel that. Religion is boring. And, well, the word the Bible uses for the religion that people often do, so often do, is miserable. And if you've been with us, you know why I use that word. That's what the New Testament says. Miserable. But it shouldn't be. Because what God made is very good. And sometimes religion kind of gets that wrong. And what I hope to do is kind of clear that up today. Because sometimes religion kind of takes the wonderful things that God has made and kind of puts it, kind of like pits it against God. Like, you can kind of have these desires and loves in this creation world, but that's against the better love for God. Because if you love this one too much, then you don't love this one. And, well, that's not exactly what the Bible says. We want to clear all of that up. So how should we begin? I had lunch with a friend not that long ago, and I was like, hey, friend, how's it going? What's going good? And he said, I'm loving life right now. And he recently became the father of two little girls. And he's like, I'm loving life. It's wonderful. And it's like, I know that. When you have little children is one of those things that makes you really feel like this creation is good. Very good. Little children, very, very good. I have five of them. They're not all little anymore, but little children, very good. Notice I didn't say very good behaved. That's an entirely other conversation. But even so, even on our worst days, what God made is very good. And we feel that. We feel that definitely as fathers when you have a little girl on your lap. You feel it. There's lots of ways we feel it in this life. And so he's like, it's going good. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the goodness of creation is what he's essentially saying to me. And I was like, okay, that's good. That's good. You're doing good. Anything going bad in life right now? Anything troubling you? And he said, honestly, yeah. Lately, I've just been feeling a sense of fear, dread. You can call it like existential dread, if you know that word. Fear, dread of kind of like death and like the afterlife, you know? It's like, I feel kind of like afraid of like the afterlife. And I'm like, oh, the afterlife, afraid of that. You mean like the bad place, you know? And he surprised me and he said, no, actually, it's heaven I'm afraid of. And I'm like, what? All right, you're gonna have to explain that one. And he's like, well, my friend grew up in a what you might call like traditional religion. And often in like this traditional view of heaven, and maybe you've kind of heard this or had it explained. Actually, if you Google heaven, which I did like yesterday, and you go to like image search, you have all these pictures of ethereal kind of semi-transparent people like in the clouds, you know? And in this traditional view, a lot of times, there we are, kind of like semi-transparent, ethereal creatures in the clouds, and we have golden harps in our hands. And this is what we do all day, every day. We sing praises to God all day, every day. All right, children, here's where I'm going to need you, because kids are sometimes good at being honest when grown-ups are less so. Kids, does singing church songs all day, every day sound fun or boring?
Boring.
Kids are being honest. Singing church songs all day, every day sounds a little boring. Okay? And the reason why, well, the good news is that's not what the Bible talks about heaven being, but there's a bigger problem with that line of thinking, okay? Everything God made, he said it was good. Very good. His plan is to not scrap it all and just say, okay, we're going to scrap all that, and now we're just going to be semi-transparent spiritual beings in the clouds doing nothing. That's not what the Bible says. Boring, that's right. What does the Bible say about the end? So we started in the beginning, then we're gonna go to the end now, and then finally we'll make it to the climax, the Easter story. Okay, so you jump to the end. Let's go to the end. This is like the last chapter of the Bible, I think. Maybe the second to last. Revelation 21, verse 22 and 26 goes like this. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. So this is the end of the Bible. This is heaven, and notice, heaven is a city. It's a city. And this is a very important point. Very important point. And if you read all of like these chapters here in Revelation, you know something. Where is this city? Because I'll tell you right away, it's not up in the clouds. Where is this city? It's not on Mars. It's not a bad guess, but you're close. What? At the middle of the earth? It's here on earth. That's where the city is going to be. That's a very important note. At the end of the story, it's going to be here. The city is going to be here on this earth that God said is very good. Granted, some things will be different. Most notably, a lot of the problems that came after God said everything is good, a lot of the problems, most notably the problem involving bloodshed, violence, death, those sorts of things will be no more. But nevertheless, it will be here. It will be here on this earth. So when you feel there are things about this creation that are just so wonderful, they're very good, and you feel like, oh no, I have to leave all that someday. I have to leave all that to go live this higher spiritual life. That's not the message of the Bible, and that's not the message of the physical resurrection of Jesus, which we will get to later. But for now, there's something else about this city that I want to point out. It says, this city, it says, at the last verse says, the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. What's that mean? The glory and the honor of the nations, or nations means like peoples. the glory and the honor of the people groups. So I was thinking about this message today and thinking about the conversation I had with my friend about you know, the afterlife and such. And I'm taking a walk on Pierrefonds Boulevard, walking east. And I found myself near this little market this little market called Euromix. You ever been there? Euromix. It's on Pierrefonds Boulevard. It's a grocery store full of items that are Russian, Eastern European, so like Poland, Ukraine. And you know, I walk in and there's like various like cheese and sausages and fish and, you know, breads, pastries, grains, spices, all these ingredients. And I'll tell you something about myself if you don't know. I cook more than anyone I know. Okay, honestly. I'm like, yesterday I like cooked for many hours and it was just a normal day. Yesterday we made grilled octopus and Parmesan pasta and fresh bread, and I grilled some bok choy. But it was just a normal day. But I cook a lot, and I don't just cook, you know, I'm Italian, I cook Italian food, but I cook from all over the world. Like, every part of the world, I feel like I know how to cook stuff from there. Actually, if I could have a bragging right, we had our friend Dami over a while ago. She's from Nigeria, and I made Nigerian jollof rice, and she said it was a 10 out of 10. So, I just saying, that is me bragging a little bit, but I'm bragging for a point. There's a point I'm trying to make. I am educated when it comes to international culinary ingredients and such. Yet nevertheless, I walk into a store like this with, you know, spices and grains and pastries and fish and cheese and such from all over the world, or from this store is from, like I say, Eastern Europe. And almost everything in this store, I don't know what it is. As educated as I am, maybe 5% of these ingredients I'm familiar with, and the rest of the stuff, I don't know. And the same deal next door, there's a Middle Eastern grocery store. I cook Middle Eastern food a lot, okay? But if I go in there, almost everything in almost every aisle, I don't know what it is, okay? Or the large Asian store on Gui, I was there last week, same deal. I cook a lot of Asian food. I'm pretty educated. Nevertheless, I walk through the aisles, and I don't know what anything is. And there's a point I'm trying to make. This world, this very good world, we are very barely scratching the surface. Okay, there's so much more goodness to explore, and part of that goodness is the things we make. The glory and honor of the nations means the things we make out of culture, okay? The ingredients from Eastern Europe, there's glory there. There's something special, something unique. Nigerian jollof rice is amazing, by the way, and some of you know that. We have some friends from, plenty of people in the church from Nigeria, jollof rice, amazing. There is glory in culture, the things that we make. And I think there's something wonderful about how in the city that is coming, we're not scrapping all that. We're not scrapping all that to be some semi-transparent spiritual beings out in the sky. It's going to be here. If you love things like me about this city, about this creation, it's going to be even better. Can I go just a little deeper into this? So when I was at Euromix, I was just on foot, so I couldn't buy too many things, but I wanted to buy some things. I settled on a bottle of soda that looked like watermelon. I'm like, okay, I can't read what it's written on this bottle, but I think it's watermelon soda. I got that for my kids. I got a jar of pickled fish that looked particularly interesting. I thought I could serve with charcuterie. And speaking of fish, okay, kids, question for you. How many types of fish do you think there are in this world? 20? It's more than that. 1,422? 35? 67? What? Simon? 20? 250? It's not a bad guess. 6, 7? Is that what Charlotte just said? It's not 6, 7. Okay, that's not even a real thing. What do you think? A million? Okay, guys, guess what? It was kind of a trick question. Well, you're pretty close. That makes me think someone's looking at a phone over there. Okay, no, actually the real answer is nobody knows. And the reason why nobody knows, well, according to like, the Eschmeyer Catalog of Fishes, which is apparently the authoritative catalog, there are 37,520 species of fish discovered so far. But catch this, in 2025, that number grew by 408. 408 new fish were discovered last year. So what does that tell you? No one knows how many fish there are. All that means is we are hardly scratching the surface of what has been created, the goodness of what's been created. We don't even know. On a similar note, I was listening not that long ago, I see him somewhere, Basil. I was listening to a message that Basil gave he's a scientist, about science and faith. And he said, every good researcher knows that with every question that we answer, with every discovery, what comes with it is 10 new unanswered questions. Every door you walk through with research just brings out more questions. And the inquisitive mind that loves to learn and loves to discover, it's the same point. We are hardly scratching the surface of what God has made that is very good. Maybe you're not into cooking. Maybe you hate science class. But there is something that really moves you because God made you in a special way. There are things about this created world that you love. So someone over here said Minecraft, video games, okay? The video games we have today are a lot different than the video games when I was a kid. And I would say when it comes to technology, which is part of culture, we are just barely scratching the surface. There is more goodness to be discovered. God, he created everything, and he said it's very good. And once more, religion sometimes fails to really appreciate that and grasp it. And sadly, a lot of times religion does just the opposite. It makes you feel like, oh, you can either love this lower world or you can instead love this higher spiritual world. When actually, when I have a little girl on my lap or giving me a hug, do you know what I can feel? I can feel the love and the goodness of a creator. I can feel the love and the goodness of a creator who thought of that. When I make grilled octopus and it turned out pretty good, when I make grilled octopus and it tastes good, I can eat that with thankfulness of a God who thought of such things. Okay, Pastor Charlie, today's Easter. Okay, you're all over the place. Okay, well, let's bring it back because the resurrection has everything to do with what I'm saying. Let's read Luke chapter 24, beginning verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. "All right, kids, I need you again." What is a ghost? A spiritual being, someone what? An ancestor, maybe. What do you think? All right, hold on, one at a time, one at a time. I'll get to you. Hold on. Over here. Someone you can't see? Okay, what do you think? Halloween decoration, you're not wrong. Over here. A spirit. Okay, Simon? A soul. Josh? Spirits and souls of dead people? What do you think? A person with no flesh, with no body. Okay, one more. What? Someone with a blanket? Okay. Well, hold on a second, because there's something very important here. Jesus appeared to the disciples, but there was something specific about himself that he needed them to know. Jesus said, I'm not a ghost. How do you know that Jesus wasn't a ghost? Because what? Because they're ghosts. You can't touch their body. That's right. Yep. Anything else Jesus did to show he's not a ghost?
He said he's not fake.
Yeah, he's not fake. What do you think over there? What else happened? Ghosts just fly around. But something what we just read, Matthew. What? He doesn't say boo. There's something else. All right, little bunny in the front here. He showed the palms of his hands. There's one other thing. What up? He has flesh and bones. That's the big point. Oh, we'll have to come back to that. Hold on. All right, last one. Let's see. That's right. Ghosts can't eat. Ghosts don't eat fish. Everyone knows that ghosts don't eat fish, right? Ghosts don't eat fish. Jesus, you have to imagine this. This I find amusing. Jesus shows up to his friends. Hold on. Jesus shows up to his friends, and what he says to them, anyone around here got something to eat? You got to picture the little smirk on his face. You got to imagine Jesus had a good amount of joy doing this. Does anyone have anything to eat? It's not enough that you know that I'm here risen from the dead. You need to know I am here in the flesh. This is the point. This is the Easter point, okay? God sending his son to bear flesh, to become human. And then, after Jesus died for our sins, raising Jesus from the dead in the flesh with a human body. That tells us something. It shows God's commitment to what he created that was good. He's not going to scrap it. That's not the message of the Bible. He's affirming his commitment. I am not giving up on you guys. You know, I would not be me without a body. That's part of being human. Part of being human is we are people of the flesh, of the creation. That is, Jesus rising from the dead is God showing his love for this. For God so loved the world. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And this life is going to be here. When Jesus returns, the resurrection that he had, we will share in. Let's read the last passage, the thing Jesus says right after. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The message, the point of Jesus rising from the dead. Jesus says, I told you everything that was written about me. So 1,500 years of Old Testament scriptures, everything that was written about me must be fulfilled. And then he says something kind of strange. He says, this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. He says, this is what was written, and here's what's interesting is there's no verse that says that. Jesus isn't quoting a certain verse. Instead, what he is saying is, that's the whole message of everything. The Old Testament is really thick, and Jesus said, if you put it all together, this is what it is all pointing to. This is what it is all about. That's why I said it's the climax of the Bible story. God sending his son, and in doing so, showing his love for sinners. Jesus became like us, a human. And raising Jesus from the dead, it's showing that God the Father, the Creator, has not given up on his creation. His desire is for us to have this life without death. This life in a world, in a creation that has not gone off the rails with violence and everything that comes with people making bad decisions. There's going to be a city. And in this city, we will see clearly. In this city, there will be culture. There will be beauty. There will be science. There will be art. There will be food, candy. That's the right answer. And with this message, Jesus said, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. That word repentance, when we hear it, that can be one of those like religious sounding words. And I think in part, we fail to understand what it means. When people hear repent, 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 the first thing that often comes to mind is stop doing bad things. Stop doing bad things. Stop sinning. Stop doing bad things. But that is a really very superficial understanding of what it means. The real meaning is much deeper. What it means literally is to turn or to change your mind. And this is kind of the appeal. God raising Jesus from the dead is supposed to change your mind. This is how. Remember earlier, what did we say? People often think of religion as miserable, boring, not happy, cold. But, listen, friends, listen. A lot of times, that's how we think of God. A lot of times, we think of God as not happy, cold, not fun. You know what I mean? That's how we naturally think of God. And the message of Jesus rising from the dead is for us to change our mind about that and realize, you know that, Charlotte. Hold on, children, hold on. The message that we are supposed to understand of Jesus rising from the dead is that God is good. And he showed his goodness first in creating a wonderful world. Yes, things have gone astray. It's broken, and that's part of the story. Sin came and things got bad, but we can still see the wonder. We can still see the wonderful world that we are just hardly scratching the surface of. God showed his goodness in creating this wonderful world, and God affirmed his commitment to that in raising Jesus from the dead. And the message for us is, if we would only change our minds and realize we have a God who loves us, we can be restored into a new relationship with him with new life and new power. And that's part of the message of the Holy Spirit, new life inside of us. It comes by believing. That is the fact that there's a resurrection that's going to happen at the end of the story, Jesus is going to raise the dead, it actually begins now. It begins when people hear the message. Because when you hear the message, there's something inside of you that resurrects. There's new life that begins to resurrect in your heart. So what shall we do? It's Easter. What shall we do? Chocolate, Easter egg hunt. Eat. Those are all wonderful ideas. That is exactly what we should do. We should enjoy the good world that God made with our children, with our families, with food. And we should do it with thankful hearts, knowing that God made all of this. God loves us. And we can be with him forever here. Praise the Lord. That's a good message. Come on, band. Come on back up. Father God, I pray that this Easter truth of a resurrection that happened, a resurrection of the flesh, a resurrection of the body, and the coming resurrection for everyone who believes in you, Jesus, I pray that that would live in us, Lord. I pray that when we enjoy the good, very good things that you created, God, I pray that we would be able to enjoy those things with thankful hearts, knowing that you're a God who is good, who is very good, Lord. Thank you that you gave us bodies. Thank you that you gave us taste buds. Thank you for creating culture, Lord. Thank you that you are good. And Jesus, thank you for your commitment to us, even when we were not committed to you. Even when we thought you were cold and boring and not happy, Lord, I pray that you did not give up on us. And in raising Jesus from the dead and having Jesus eat broiled fish to show he's not a ghost, Lord, you showed you are not done with the good creation you have made, and you're not done with us. And I praise you for that, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And in your name, we continue to celebrate. Amen.